prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day this is. This is a day that you have made, and we will just rejoice and we'll be glad in this day. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Thank you for sending your Son to take the penalty of our sin. We know that he did not sin, but he took our penalty. He took our punishment. And today we thank you for your righteousness that you have given us as a free gift. We know we're in right standing with you because of the blood of Jesus, because Jesus gave us his righteousness and he took our sins. We now can boldly declare that we are the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Father, that all those that are listening on radio, those that are watching online, those that are in this building right now, we thank you, Father, that they'll be able to receive the goodness of God today as they listen to the Word of God being taught and ministered. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with that, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, so glad that you're here today. We're going to have a good time in Jesus. Turn in your Bibles today to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. I'm going to talk a little bit today about the Apostle Paul's ministry. The Apostle Paul wrote basically two-thirds of the New Testament. You can look where he starts there, in Romans, and moves on into Corinthians, and a lot of letters that he wrote just give us insight that no other author can share with us in the Bible. In fact, some of the things I'm going to be sharing today, Paul is the only one that actually said some of these things. And if we hadn't had the Apostle Paul's ministry, we would be in trouble. I mean, he's helped us understand so much. So we're going to talk about his ministry. And we're also going to be talking about how the Apostle Paul was called as a man out of due season. You know, he didn't walk with the original 12 apostles of the Lamb. He was a Saul. In fact, he was killing Christians there for a while because he thought he was doing God a favor by taking these Christians, putting them in jail, and also they were killed because of him. But he got knocked down on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. Bright light shined all around him. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you persecute." And he talked about him kicking against the pricks, you know. And after that point, you know, Paul, he became Saul. Everybody say Saul. Became Paul. And we don't hear that word Saul in his comments. You know, he was Saul, though. But for some reason, his name got changed to Paul. And my mama named me Paul, and I think it's a pretty good name. Hallelujah. Now, my brother's name was David. See, and I was named Paul. Now, we got another brother that's Jerry. My older brother is named David. And I always kind of think about it. David was born in the Old Testament, and I was born in the New Testament. Because I'm Paul. Hallelujah. Just a side journey there. Hallelujah. Look at the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Look at the eighth verse. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high." Now, this is Jesus. You know, he's going to heaven. He's being resurrected from the dead, and he's going to heaven. Ephesians 4 and 8, King James Version. "Wherefore he said, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, I believe that all of those people in Abraham's bosom of the Old Testament, the people of faith that were believing for the Christ to come, but they physically died before Christ came, I believe they were held in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man and Lazarus, you know that story. You could actually look from hell into Abraham's bosom. In fact, the rich man talked to Father Abraham. He said, "Would you have Lazarus come down, dip the tip of his finger in water, bring it down here to me? I'm in torment." So there was a a place where all Old Testament saints that believed in the Messiah coming, they were held until Jesus died and resurrected. I believe like in the upper room, when the 120 were in the upper room. Well, before that, Jesus came up out of the grave, out of hell. I believe he was in hell. Came out of hell, went into Abraham's bosom, and he led all of those people, hallelujah, into heaven. And now Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those Old Testament saints are right now in heaven. I don't believe there's an Abraham bosom right now. I believe that everybody is in heaven that were in the Old Testament that were believers. Now, 8th verse, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, remember he said he gave gifts unto men there in the 8th verse. Well, look at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles, these are the gifts, now they're offices too, but they're gifts to us, the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, the Apostle Paul is the only writer in the New Testament that shares that verse, that shares these fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He had an insight that some of the others didn't have. And it could be that the Apostle Paul, you know, he was stoned to death. And I believe he went to heaven. You know, he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, but he went to heaven. You can see this in 2 Corinthians 12. He went to heaven, and, you know, there was things that he could not preach or teach because he couldn't utter them because God withheld him from doing that. But I believe he got some revelation when he was in the presence of the Lord in heaven. And he came back and he started ministering to the church. And a lot of things that he's writing down that he's written in his letters and stuff, I believe a lot of that came from Jesus himself. In fact, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he went out of Jerusalem and went into Arabia and went and started just for years and years, started getting connected to God through the Holy Ghost. And a lot of revelation came when he was, you might say, ostracized. You know, people were trying to kill him. So he kind of went on the other side of the desert and he got revelation in that area as well. But what Paul's main message was, and he came to talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He also started talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I think Sister Charlene is going to minister on some of that today. Well, those gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, who you are in Christ, you know, the offices that are in the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The Apostle Paul is the one that actually brought this foundation to the church. You don't see this in Peter. You don't see this in James. You see little hints of it in different writings. But the Apostle Paul is the one that brought this foundation. So what his main message was is this. You have to not trust in your salvation through the law. He was a grace man. He was a faith in grace. He believed that Jesus is the only way. Now, a lot of other people today that are ministers of the gospel, they believe that many false religions, that their people are going to be saved. Well, I don't see that. I believe that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I don't think anybody is saved or going to heaven when they die without going through the cross, without going through Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, another thing, most of your religions of our day, and even way back there, if you started with the Jewish religion in the time that Jesus was on the earth, they believed with enough good deeds, enough good works, that God would accept you. That was the concept that was, in fact, you can go into Buddhism, Hinduism, all of the different isms. They have a good work. If you're a good person, then God will now give you salvation. Well, the Apostle Paul don't agree with that at all. The Apostle Paul believes that one sin will doom you to hell. Just one sin. And every one of us in the flesh have committed more than one sin. So it has to be by the blood of Jesus. It has to be by the blood. Jesus' blood didn't cancel out, you know, this sin, but leave another sin. When Jesus died on that cross, every sin that I've committed in the past and all the sins in the future were all paid for by Jesus. If I do something tomorrow wrong, a sin tomorrow, well, the blood of Jesus is already paid for that sin. Now, somebody said, well, you know, how can you say that he's going to forgive you for something in the future? You know, I know he'll forgive you for something in the past, but how can he forgive you for something in the future? Well, let me share this with you. Was Jesus crucified before the foundation of the world? That's what the Bible says. So God predestinated anybody that believes in Jesus, receives Jesus as their personal Savior. They are in God's predestination plan. He predetermined that I would be saved. And if I accept his salvation grace package, the gift of salvation, I am not going to hell. I will have some problems, though, after I'm born again with my flesh. My flesh is going to act up. I'm going to do things wrong. But my faith in what Jesus did right will cancel out what I have done wrong. Now, some people have said this, well, you're just giving people a license to sin when you preach this way. No, because when you receive Jesus and you're born again, your spirit wants to do right. You're not out here as a born-again Christian, like we said yesterday, becoming Bonnie and Clyde, you know, robbing banks. You know, when you get born again, you have a desire to live the life of Jesus. It's because he put his nature in us. I don't have the nature of sin anymore in my spirit. You don't either. The nature of righteousness is in us right now. Hallelujah. And so if we just study the Bible on who we are now in Christ, we'll develop to a point where a lot of the things that we have manifested in the flesh, sins of the flesh, they'll just start dropping off of you. You won't have to just force yourself to quit this and quit that. It'll just start dropping off of you. In fact, you'll think, when did I do that before? I can't even remember when I did that. Well, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ and your spiritual development is taking that away from you. You know, every one of us used to wear a diaper. Aren't you glad you don't now? Hallelujah. See, but we were developed in the natural. We learned how to potty. I know that's kind of childish, but you know, a lot of kids, you know, they 3 years old, 4 years old, they're wanting to quit this thing, you know. They're wanting to quit wearing these pull-ups and wanting to quit wearing these diapers because I want to be a grown-up. Well, the more they learn, the more they develop in their human abilities, the more that'll just drop off. And they won't have to do those things. Well, it's the same way spiritually. You don't just make yourself do this and do that to become holy in your lifestyle. You just hear more and more about who you are in Christ, and those things just drop off. Hallelujah. I'd like for you to go back to 2 Corinthians today. We were there yesterday, and this is the Apostle Paul laying some foundation work for the church at Corinth, and he's helping us as well. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Notice the Apostle Paul believed he had a ministry. Okay? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, the Apostle Paul was not in good shape sometimes physically. I mean, he was being persecuted on a continual basis. They were stoning him. In fact, they left him for dead one place. We talked about that before. The Apostle Paul had this mercy, though, and he didn't faint. You see a longevity in Christians. You always can attach mercy to longevity. God has been merciful to us. In fact, his mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. But now look at this again. Receive mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The Apostle Paul said, he's renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what he's saying here is this. I'm qualified. I'm qualified to speak into your life. I have a ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm qualified. I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not walking in craftiness or deceitfulness. You can now trust me, is what he's saying. You know, I had a chaplain that called me from a hospital in Pennsylvania this morning. And the chaplain was wanting a reference for somebody that had been in our congregation, and they've moved away by the army, and wanted a reference for them because they were going to be a chaplain in this hospital in Pennsylvania. Well, I, you know, started talking about this individual. I gave the qualifications to this chaplain. I said, you know, they were credible. They were always faithful, committed people when they were here. I could trust them. You know, I didn't believe that they were going to backstab me. And I just told them, I gave them a good report. In fact, I believe they got the job. Hallelujah. Well, the Apostle Paul is actually giving his resume here in verse 2. He's telling the Corinthian people that you have qualifications in me that you can now trust. And when I speak what I'm speaking, you can take it to the Holy Ghost bank. Okay? Look at the third verse. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, the Apostle Paul called the gospel his gospel. Jesse the Planets, you know, had a vision, went to heaven. Some of y'all probably heard him talk about that. Well, he said he met the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul told Jesse, I'm glad that you're preaching my gospel. So, you know, even the Apostle Paul back at this time called it his gospel. Well, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was ministering it. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Did you see that? Should shine unto them. Now, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Should shine unto them. Glory to God. So he says, I got a gospel and it's going to counter the God of this world. The God of this world, we know, is the devil. And we know he blinds the minds of them which believe not. And the Apostle Paul said that his anointing, he said his ministry could actually take out the blinders off of the people's minds that the God of this world has put on. Go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. We were there yesterday. Let's look at this 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, first verse, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. So I'm away from you, and I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to be bold. And what he's meaning, I'm going to bring correction. I am not going to shy back. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you need to hear the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, in our modern day time, there's a lot of practices that our worldly people, you know, non-Christians, are actually accepting as something that's okay, it's right. The practice of, you know, same-sex marriage, adultery, fornication, a lot of the things that the world right now just says, this is okay. And, you know, it's not. It's sin. You know, I have to, as a minister of the gospel, I have to tell the truth. Now, there's so many people today that are blinded, never been to church at all. They come to church and they have their belief system in what the world is telling them because they don't have any background in God, in His Word. So what does a pastor do in these days that we live in right now? Do I shut my mouth about the sins that are being perpetrated in the world? Well, if I do, I'm letting the God of this world blind the minds of our children, adults, young adults, college people. So you have to be able to say what is wrong, even if it might cut somebody's behavior. You have to say it, and you say it because you love. You know, I didn't correct my children because I hated my children. I corrected them because I loved them. I knew if I didn't bring correction that they would grow up and it would be a bad thing. So the pastors of our day and time they got to get bold. You don't speak about the sins of the world with hate. Speak the truth in love so people can grow up. But if somebody gets offended because I speak what the Bible says, you know what? I just got to pray for them, but I got to keep on speaking it. And the Apostle Paul was that way. When he came to the people, he would declare and decree things that they didn't like. And he had to be bold about what he was talking about. Look at the second verse again, 2 Corinthians 10 and 2. I beseech you that I may be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. So it's not everybody, it's just some. Which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So they think of Paul as he walked according to the flesh. Now, third verse, Paul says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And then he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we've learned this from teachers in the body of Christ for years. But what I've found out over my years of being a Christian is there's a lot of favorite verse Christians, a lot of favorite verse preachers, teachers. In other words, the letter was written, but we only preach a little bit of it. Well, I grew up with that. I mean, we jumped over every scripture verse that talked about speaking in tongues when I was growing up. My daddy'd be preaching, come right up to that speaking in tongues. And I mean, we could jump over that verse just real quick. Hallelujah. Because we don't want none of our people, because they didn't believe it, you know. So we don't want any ammunition for them. So they just wouldn't preach it. Well, the sixth verse comes after the fifth verse. Look what the Apostle Paul said. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. See, this is talking about the Apostle Paul's ministry. Remember, God called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There were people in the Corinthian church. In fact, he even called them, you know, ministers of Satan, angels of light, that was attacking the Apostle Paul, telling the Corinthian people that you can't believe what the Apostle Paul is ministering. You can't do it. You can't believe him. Well, his office of apostle, even though he was a man of the flesh, in other words, he didn't have this glow on him. When he walked in the room, you know, he looked like a man. He said he was a man of the flesh. They were people of the flesh as well. The people that were coming against him were flesh, and he was flesh. So who do you believe? You believe this man called Paul, or do you believe these others that are coming against Paul? And what Paul said is, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Apostle Paul was saying, they have the flesh, that they have no anointing. So if I get in this church, I'm going to turn your minds to truth. They're not, the God of this world is not going to be able to blind you if my anointing comes on the scene. That's just what he said. He believed in his ministry, and he believed in the weapons that God had given him as an apostle to actually take people's thoughts captive. Do you know, in a negative way, if you think about this, Hitler took captive the thoughts of Germany. He got the German people to believe that the Jews should all be slaughtered and killed, and millions were burned in ovens. How did a man like Hitler ever get this type of notoriety? He got it with the anointing of the devil. The God of this world was functioning through Hitler and taking the people of Germany's thoughts captive from pure to evil. And I mean, it was a terrible thing, but that's evil. But what about good? Is God got some ministers that can break the power of the devil, and people can be born again and saved and delivered in the midst of the God of this world that wants to blind the minds? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And see, the thing is, we're right now in a day and time where these gifts, these fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they're so, they're everywhere. There's apostles everywhere. This planet is full of apostles right now, and prophets, and pastors, and teachers. I mean, we have so many apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers today. And the church is being perfected. That's what the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is supposed to do. Perfect the church for the work of the ministry. Now, these true apostles and true prophets, because there's false apostles, there's false prophets and teachers and pastors, they don't have the anointing. See, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. When God comes on a person and puts them in an office, you know, like the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were separated for the work of the ministry by the Holy Ghost. Well, when God starts manifesting through this person, we talked about this yesterday, how these New Testament ministers can actually turn people from ungodliness to godliness, can turn people from misery to joy. I mean, I've been in some service, been attacked by the enemy before I got there, got to the service, and I come out just shouting. I mean, dancing all over the place about 30 minutes into the preaching, the teaching. Well, what happened to me? Well, what happened was the anointing that was on the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher got on me. Hallelujah. And set me free from the God of this world that was blinding my mind and saying I had to be miserable. Hallelujah. I let joy start coming out. But it was the ministry gifts that caused that in Jesus' name. Now, notice the fifth verse again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, when a person is speaking, you can go to sleep. You know, you don't have to listen. You can be in the room as somebody's talking and not even pay attention. But if you're really paying attention when somebody's ministering or teaching, talking, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be thinking their thoughts, because their words produce thoughts in you. Now, you might be resisting their words, and you're saying in your mind the thoughts that you have, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But you still had to hear the word, and it produced a thought in you to resist it. The Apostle Paul was saying, I could come in to this Corinthian church that's a carnal church, and I can take captive the thoughts of the people of this church with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God's doing right now all around the world. It used to be, you know, I believe that all these Pentecostal people, Holy Ghost people, there's all of the devil, you know. And I resisted them, you know, when they would preach or teach. Anybody would come up and talk to me about Holy Ghost, you know, I knew they was those Pentecostals, you know. But, you know, the more I listened, I just opened doors and started listening to some folks that had the offices that were anointed. Hallelujah. And the next thing I know, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm believing in deliverance and healing and miracles and all that stuff. You know, what changed me though? What changed me was my thoughts were taken captive by the fivefold ministry. You can't grow up spiritually without the fivefold ministry. There's people that think they can just sit in their house and read the Bible and grow up spiritually. You can't do it. You have to have an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Those office gifts are basically the gifts that were in Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, he was an apostle, he was a prophet, he was evangelist, he was pastor, he was a teacher while he was on the earth. When he ascended, he gave all of those gifts that he had and spread them out all over the world to all the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't this good news? I like this. I could preach all day on this subject, but I don't have time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now go back, if you would, to what we were talking about yesterday. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Third chapter. I'm sorry. I missed it a little bit there. Third chapter, 2 Corinthians. Look at the 11th verse or 10th verse. Well, let's go back to the 8th verse. Y'all okay with this? We'll read backwards. Look at the 8th verse. How shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now, that's talking about the New Testament. So let's go back to the 7th verse. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? But if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses. Now, the Apostle Paul in the 12th verse is comparing himself with Moses. Look at the 12th verse. 13th verse. And not as Moses, which put a veil. Where did I? My phone messed up on me. Go back to the 10th verse. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. But if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which it remaineth is glorious. In other words, the New Testament is not done away, it remaineth, and the covenant law of the Old Testament is done away. Look at the 12th verse. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We use great plainness of speech. Now, who's talking? The Apostle Paul, right? And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Now look at this. This is a powerful statement. When Jesus came down off of the mountain, he came down with the tables of stone, and we would call it the Ten Commandments, right? Written on tables of stone. But the Moses that we know didn't just bring down the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. He brought down a revelation. And what was his revelation? He saw to that which was abolished. When he was up there in the presence of God, he was looking into the future. And he was seeing at a time where what he was bringing down would be abolished. Look at it again, 13th verse. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. What are you talking about? Well, Moses saw the New Testament. He knew, even though he was bringing down the Old Testament, he was bringing down the Ten Commandments on the mountain, off the mountain. He actually saw the New Testament. And he saw this old covenant being stopped and the new covenant starting. You know, like Abraham, he was a visionary. He saw through his seed the Christ child. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. He wasn't just looking at Isaac and Jacob. He was looking at Christ generations down the line. Well, Moses wasn't just looking at the Ten Commandments, you know, that he's going to put on the Jewish people of that time. He was looking at the time when the Jewish people would be born again, where there wouldn't be the need of the Ten Commandments anymore because the New Testament would be written in their hearts. So Moses even understood that the Apostle Paul would soon start bringing, you know, after generations of people dying and being born, Moses saw that there would be a day of the abolishment of what he was even ministering. Okay, now why? Because what did the ministration of the law do? It ministered death. There is no life in the law. Now, the law reveals sin, but the law does not reveal Jesus' righteousness. It just reveals sin. Well, if you're stuck in the revelation of sin, you're stuck in the revelation of death. But when Jesus came and Jesus talked about sin being paid for, that at that moment, it's the ministration of life, not the ministration of death. The New Testament is the ministration of spiritual life. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul was the one that was ministering it to him. Now, this is a sad thing, because in our modern day church right now, I would say 75% of the modern day church are ministering condemnation, or even more, maybe. And you got born again people that are sitting here. I got born again and I sat in a church that ministered condemnation to me all the time. That was not developing me spiritually. My reborn spirit, I didn't even know I had a reborn spirit. I just knew that I was saved. I wasn't going to hell. But somebody started telling me that I'm three parts. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. And they started telling me that you can grow and develop spiritually, and that you can now become like Christ inside out, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Christ lives in me now. It's not Christ way up in heaven. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, as they started ministering that to me, they were writing the New Testament on my heart. And the next thing I know, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. The next thing I know, healing and miracles and signs and wonders and all these things are happening. Now, why? Why? Because the New Testament brings miracles and healings and deliverance. Now, in Galatians 3, I don't have time, but I'm going to just make reference, and we'll probably cover it tomorrow. Galatians 3 is right after Galatians 2, right? Y'all agree with that? Galatians 2 is right before Galatians 3? Well, in Galatians 2:20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But then right after that, it says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law. And then we get right into Galatians 3 that talks about Christ become a curse for us hanging on the tree. Curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, right? But right before that, though, it talked about these miracle workers. Do they do it by the law, or do they do it by hearing of faith? Do you do miracles by the law, or do you do miracles by hearing of faith? See, the miracles don't happen. The nine gifts of the Spirit don't happen in the Old Testament. Now, the Holy Ghost would come on people, but far as the nine gifts of the Spirit we experience in the New Testament, they don't come until you start moving in revelation of the New Testament. The New Testament now brings these manifestations out. The fruit of the Spirit comes through the New Testament. We don't even read in the Old Testament that there was a fruit of the Spirit. They were always being chastised, as always being commanded not to do this, not to do that, but to grow spiritual fruit. See, how can you grow spiritual fruit, though? Your reborn spirit. Your reborn spirit is the branch. And your reborn spirit is connected to Jesus, who is the vine. And so you grow this spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, all of this is grown through a new covenant, New Testament believer. Right. Hallelujah. And you just can't grow it on Moses. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better not mess with me, Karina, because an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You bust my tooth, I'll bust your tooth. But in the New Testament, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if somebody slapped you on one cheek, turn to him the other cheek, right? Let God take care of you. Let God be on your side. Hallelujah. Why? Because your sins are all passed away. Did y'all get anything out of this? Now, we're just laying some foundation of the Apostle Paul, his writings. Now, I'm not saying the rest of the Bible isn't good for you. See, the whole Bible is given to us by God. It's inspired by God. There's different dispensations in the Bible, though. I'm not putting myself under Job. I know a lot of people, they say, well, you know, Job couldn't get it, and he was righteous. He was just. He was the most just person of that time. You know, yeah, you got that right, of that time. He wasn't even born again. He'd never been filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't even know there was a devil. He didn't know he could fight spiritual warfare because there wasn't any spiritual warfare. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given. But it's amazing how many people that are born again, New Testament believers, preachers, will preach Job to the people that are New Covenant people. Well, you know, the reason that Job couldn't get out of it is because Job did this. And you can learn from Job. I'm not saying you can't read Job and learn from it, but I say learn the New Testament and then go back to Job and use your New Testament knowledge so you can understand some things that are going on in Job. Hallelujah. My time's run out. Would y'all stand up? If you're not born again, listen on the radio right now and you're not born again. If you just give your life to Jesus, your life will be blessed. In fact, everybody in the room right now that's born again, give the Lord a good shout out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we got a bunch of believers here down at the Christian Center, and we're all believing for you to be saved today. So right now, if you would, just pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray this together. If you're not a born-again Christian, you will be after you pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I accept you right now as my personal Savior. I repent of a lifestyle of living for the devil, a lifestyle of living in sin. I repent from it. I turn my back on that life and I give my life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, shout about it. Hallelujah.